Shining as Lights in the Night. Commentary for the January 31st, 2026 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12, verse 3. Depending upon one's visual acuity, anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 stars may be seen with the naked eye in the night sky when the conditions are ideal, without overcast, light pollution, and with a wide expanse for viewing. The vast starry expanse can seem breathtaking, even overwhelming. The thousands of points of light shimmer as though beckoning for our notice. The Milky Way, the disk edge of our own galaxy, stretches across the starry background, making it seem as though space is remarkably close. But that nearness is because of a foreshortened perspective. It is like when we sit behind the umpire at a baseball game and look out toward the pitcher's mound. The distance between the pitcher and the batter looks much shorter than it is. While all the stars that fill the night sky seem reachable, if we have the technology to travel in space, the expanse they fill is almost 100 billion light years across. Reaching even the nearest stars would mean transiting distances of several light years. Each light year is about 6 trillion miles in distance. If we could travel at the speed that light travels, we would travel that 6 trillion miles, and in a year, we would still find ourselves less than a quarter of the way to the nearest of all those stars we see, Proxima Centauri. Despite the illusion created by foreshortening, most of space is devoid of stars. Yet during the night, when the sun does not overwhelm the view, billions of stars, blazing infernos like our sun, send light out into the expanse across a broad spectrum of both visible and invisible light. Because that spectrum is so broad, and because eyes vary in size, shape, and form across many species, what we see when we look at the stars may vary significantly from what another species might see, should they be tempted to lift their heads toward the sky. Would they be as impressed as we are? What if there were no stars? Apart from the fact that life as we know it would not exist, we would not be able to distinguish the earth from the sky. Absent light, there would be nothing to define shape or distance to our eyes. It would be like being in a darkened box that was large enough we could not feel its dimensions. Could we remain sane for long in such an environment? Since our sun is also a star, day and night would cease, and darkness would be our entire experience. Would eyesight still provide an advantage that could be selected for over generations, or would we lose whatever eyesight we have, as certain small fish and other creatures have, while living entirely in dark caverns below the Earth's surface? Light and the ability to use and interpret it are essential to our being, as well as most life on Earth. The flora rely on it for photosynthesis, and the fauna rely on it for essential nutrients, such as vitamin D. This does not begin to account for the problem that species thrive within certain temperature ranges moderated by the sun, our distance from it, and the atmosphere. In folklore, darkness has come to be associated with danger and evil. Even though there may be no real basis for fear, our neck hairs rise on end if we must transit a dark alley at night, or if we pass by a cemetery at midnight that would not cause such a reaction at noon on a sunny day. That metaphor for evil persists across genres, whether it is Darth Vader in Star Wars or old westerns where the bad guys all wore black hats and the good ones wore white. This has had an unfortunate effect on relations between different ethnic groups, with humanity consciously or subconsciously demonstrating a preference for those with lighter skin tones and a prejudice against those with darker ones. Even in cultures where everyone might be considered darker, similar prejudices exist even though none could be considered white, but only less dark. This has led to strange assumptions in the religious world. Even in the Bible, we see God and Jesus portrayed with light, brightness, and white garments. While skin tones in the Levant are darker, many artists' depictions of Jesus have portrayed him as white, Nordic, and with light-colored hair, an assertion drawn upon as justification for white colonialism and the need to subdue the lesser, darker races and introduce them to the white Messiah. Although John was writing metaphorically, nowhere is his focus on light versus dark clearer than in the first and third chapters of his gospel, in John 1 verses 9 through 13, and John 3 verses 19 and 20. The world is dark and opposed to the light that God has brought into the world through Jesus. It refuses to acknowledge that it needs light, thereby also denying how dark everything is. But a property of light is that it shines into the darkness, revealing the truth about the darkness. Those who deny that truth also reject the light that reveals their own dissembling. In a world full of darkness, the truth they are bonded to is that it is much easier to manipulate others through fear. Fear because who knows what might be hiding in the darkness. Better to listen to our fears, cower, and survive. But when that does not work, as the light reveals nothing was hiding in that darkness, the ability to make others fearful vanishes. Once having experienced the light, it is hard to return to darkness, but possible. If we choose to succumb to fear once again, we will be on our way back to letting others manipulate us through that fear. How do we avoid that? The world is full of enemies, but if we do not fear them, they lose their power over us. We cannot simply choose not to fear them. Our hearts have turned to stone through fear. We are afraid to open our hearts to others because in the past it only resulted in pain and betrayal. That fear keeps us from healing. But while we cannot heal ourselves, God can and will if we come to Him. He will give us hearts capable of loving. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God tells us, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Ezekiel 36, verse 26. If we have lived our entire lives in fear, this sounds too good to be true. Besides, our fear has led us to do so much we now regret. How can God ever fully trust us when we do not even trust ourselves? First, Paul tells us that everyone has this issue, because we all have sinned, in Romans 3, verse 23. But that is not a barrier to change. John tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1, verse 9. This means that our recognition of our sinfulness is part of the process of healing, and a positive step away from fear. When the Jews at Pentecost became aware of their sins, they were distressed and asked Peter, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Acts 2, verses 37 through 39. Jesus himself said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." John 5, verse 24. The greatest fear to plague humanity is the fear of death. Jesus told us not to fear the one who can only kill the body, but cannot do more, in Luke 12, verse 4. When God created humanity, He created us in His image. What is that image? John tells us, God is love, in 1 John 4, verse 8. He wants to recreate us in that image. That is why in His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us to love our enemies as even God does. And we should be perfect in loving as He is. Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. John tells us, whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. 1 John 4:16. When God takes our stony heart and recreates it to be capable of loving again, that is a secret to no longer living in fear. Fear and love cannot coexist. One will drive the other out. As we allow God to perfect love in our hearts, fear will no longer find a home there, according to 1 John 4, verse 18. The prophet Isaiah says that God one day will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove His people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Isaiah 25, verse 8. And our response on that day will be, surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. Isaiah 25, verse 9. That is the power of love over fear. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other articles and sermonettes, as well as links to books by the author. Once again, that is www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.